Welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson. This is our 200th episode. We're focusing our show today on the supply chain issues happening around the nation. We have more from the House Ag hearing. We started reporting on that in yesterday's show. We will continue it in today's show. But we are starting with our news brief today. The world food price barometer surged to a new peak, reaching its highest level since July of 2011. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations released its monthly report on Thursday, which tracks changes in the international prices of a basket of food commodities. The FAO price index averaged 133.2 points in October, which is up 3% from September, rising for a third consecutive month. Making sure your hay crop holds the same nutritional value as it did the day it was cut is paramount for keeping high-quality feedstock. Michael Clements has more.
Jim Franceschetti, Case IH Aftermarket Solutions Product Marketing Manager for Hay and Forage, says moisture management is key in doing so.
I think moisture and moisture management has the biggest impact on the quality of the hay being cut and produced. So making sure that you're managing your moisture effectively is paramount to the entire operation. Moisture can impact the mycotoxins and bacterial growth if there's too high of moisture. And of course, we all know that could lead to potential spoilage. And even in some instances, if there's a lot of moisture in there, it can create a lot of heat and that can lead to spontaneous combustion. So not only from a safety perspective, but also controlling your moisture leads to making sure that you have an effective and good relative feed value for the hay that's being produced.
Case IH offers hay preservative products to help ensure a successful harvest.
Case IH offers 30 plus hay preservative. This is a buffered propionic acid, and it's specifically formulated to prevent spoiling of the hay crop. So this preservative has a pH of 6, which is about the same as rainwater, meaning it's safe for your equipment, it's safe for the operator, and it's safe for the livestock, all while still doing the job that it needs to do, and that's preserving the hay, and it works on all types of hay.
Franceschetti adds, you also want to consider moisture when it's being stored.
So doing everything you can to properly store that hay so it has the same nutrient and the same relative feed value as the day you cut it. Proper storage is paramount. If you're able to store it indoors, we also want to make sure that you're producing uniform and dense bales and doing your best to keep any sort of moisture away from the bale. If it has to be stored outside, keeping it off the ground so there's no risk of runoff or water damage that way. Using proper crop packaging also is important. And finally, remembering to frequently monitor the moisture of the bales after it's been put up for storage to make sure that you're not seeing any excessive heat being produced.
For more information on the 30-plus hay preservative, visit mycnhistore.com/30-plus or talk with your local Case IH dealer. Michael Clements reporting.
The Department of Agriculture Thursday announced pandemic assistance to cover certification and education expenses to certified organic producers or those transitioning to organic. USDA will make $20 million available through the new Organic and Transitional Education and Certification Program. During the COVID-19 pandemic, certified organic and transitional operations faced challenges due to loss of markets, as well as increased costs and labor shortages, in addition to costs related to obtaining or renewing their organic certification. That cost producers and handlers of conventionally grown commodities did not have to face. Weather experts are out with their new long-range forecast for the coming winter. Gary Crawford has more.
Throughout modern times, songwriters and others have tried to romanticize winter. Cold, wet, dark winter.
I love the winter.
He does, I don't. Nonetheless, it's my duty to relay to you what the weather experts are forecasting for this coming winter, so I will do so reluctantly. So let's go where it's always warm. Ah, yes, a sound effect supposedly recorded somewhere in the equatorial waters of the Central and Eastern Pacific Ocean, where it turns out that the nature of this coming winter in the U.S. is likely being shaped right now as we speak. For a second year in a row, these waters are cooler than normal. That is what is called La Niña, which
tends to have a fairly profound impact on North American weather patterns.
Agriculture Department meteorologist Brad Rippey, and Brad, we'll come back to you in a minute. First, let's go to John Gottschalk with the Climate Prediction Center. His group has already made its forecasts for this coming winter, and here they are.
Above average precipitation and colder than average temperatures for some areas of the northern tier of the U.S., and below average precipitation and above average temperatures across the south.
That very basically is the forecast for the period December on through February. Now let's go back to the Agriculture Department's Brad Rippey. First, Brad, for areas that have been suffering drought over the last year or longer, what does this NOAA forecast hold?
There is promise for some additional drought relief in places like the upper Midwest and the northern plains, where we have just started to recover from that historic summer drought. We also expect to see drought relief in the northwest, eastward across the northern Rockies. And that should help out states like Washington and Oregon, Idaho and Montana that have been hit hard by drought for several months.
Now, on the other side of this, though, a warmer, drier winter is not good news for folks in Southern California, where it's been dry for over 2 years now.
That's an area that we could see drought further intensify, leading to more water supply issues.
And moving east and south from there, forecasters also looking for warmer than normal and drier than normal conditions into the already dry southern Great Plains. And so
we could continue to see drought emerging, developing, and perhaps even intensifying across the southern Great Plains.
And possibly even up into Kansas and Nebraska. Now, for those in the southeast and up the Atlantic coast, look for generally warmer and drier than normal winter coming. But Brad Rippey says just because this forecast calls for that, the day-to-day weather can vary tremendously.
We got a good taste of that last winter. We had an overarching warm winter for most of the country, but we had episodic cold outbreaks, including the historic February outbreak that devastated the Great Plains all the way southward into Texas with record-setting cold.
And also, of course, sometimes these early winter forecasts turn out wrong. So at the end of February, we'll see how well the forecasters and good old La Nina did in forecasting this winter. Ooh, I don't like winter. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Burr.
A spokesperson for Deere & Company says there will not be a third contract offer to striking union workers. The UAW John Deere members voted to reject the second proposal from Deere this week, leaving more than 10,000 workers on strike. In a company statement, Deere says, quote, "With the rejection of the agreement covering our Midwest facilities, we will execute the next phase of our customer service continuation plan." February 2022 was the date scheduled for USDA's first in-person agricultural trade mission since pandemic-related travel restrictions took place. Rod Bain reports.
Scheduled to be USDA's first in-person agricultural trade mission in over 2 years. A visit this coming February to the United Arab Emirates.
The UAE alone, our exports have averaged over $1 billion. So this is not a small market. And we're talking about customers who have high favorability of U.S. agricultural products.
And Foreign Agricultural Service Administrator Daniel Whitley adds customers from within the Gulf Cooperation Council will also participate in the various events making up this ag trade mission.
And it includes other countries, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia.
While various virtual ag trade missions have taken place since travel restrictions occurred due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
And we saw a lot of success, but I can't tell you how excited we are to finally bring back some in-person trade missions.
And that includes several opportunities for representatives of commodity and trade organizations, agribusinesses, and state agriculture departments to conduct person-to-person business with potential buyers in the UAE and surrounding region.
In-depth market briefings from our team, from our exports, both in Washington and on the ground in the region. And they'll participate in site visits, including the annual Gulf Food Show and the Dubai Expo.
The FAS administrator says the deadline is fast approaching for interested parties wishing to participate as part of the Ag Trade Mission delegation to apply. That deadline, November 8th. As for how to apply,
applications can be submitted via our website, www.fas.usda.gov.
Whitley believes that the U.S. will have a large ag trade mission delegation visiting the United Arab Emirates this winter.
We think there's a lot of pent-up demand to re-engage in these in-person trade missions, so we're hoping to have lots of folks interested in participating.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
That's our news for today. We'll be right back.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
The House Agriculture Committee held a hearing this week on the immediate challenges facing the nation's food supply. During Chairman David Scott's opening statement, he emphasized that the nation's food supply is secure. However, he says the bottom line is we are immediately in need of more truck drivers. Here is his opening statement.
The committee will come to order. I want to welcome everyone and thank you for joining us with this very critical, important, and urgent hearing. It's very important that we take stock of where we are at this point in terms of making sure that we keep our food supply chain safe and secure and moving our goods, our food products, our equipment that our farmers need to really make sure that we are responding to this very critical need. We have a distinguished panel, and I'm so delighted with the great work that my staff has done in assembling this hearing. This is very important. After a brief opening remarks, members will receive testimony from our witnesses today, and then our hearing will be open to questions. Members will be recognized in order of seniority, alternating between majority and minority members, and in order of arrival for those members who have joined after the hearing was called to order. And as always, when you are recognized, please, please make sure you are muted when you're not speaking, and when you're speaking, you can unmute. And I want to start with my own opening statement here. I really, really wanted to hurry up and have this hearing so that we will be able to relay to the American community that our food supply at this point is secure. We do not have, at this point, a shortage of food. And the purpose of this hearing is to make sure, as the challenges continue to unveil with the pandemic, which is causing so much of this problem, we hope it can go away quickly. We hoped that a year ago, but it's here. We don't know how much longer it will be here, but we cannot wait to be able to look this day at the immediate challenges that face us in order to keep our food supply plentiful and secure. Today's hearing is a very important and widespread look at our supply chain issues. We want to look at the logistics involved with ensuring that our grocery store shelves, our convenience store shelves, all of the retail elements where our people get their food products are well stocked. And we want to make sure that we in Congress are doing what we need to do to make sure that that stays constant. To start, our supply chain challenges are, yet our food is supplied safe so far, but we do have some challenges that are widespread and unprecedented. And they're not just limited to food and agriculture, they are global. We are a global force. We have the world's greatest agriculture system, and it spans the world. So whatever happens in whichever part of the world that is not good, it impacts us. It impacts our farmers. It impacts our grocery stores, all of that. And we want to make sure that we in Congress and this committee get to the bottom of what some of the serious immediate challenges are. And I want to commend several of our House Agriculture subcommittees who have held hearings on this, including the beef supply chain, small and local supply chains, and we also have had a meeting with the Federal Maritime Commission to discuss shipping issues and possible remedies. And it is also, I do not want to understate that these complex disruptions are causing economic hardships, delays, limited product choices, increased costs of production, and most notably, for much of our American people, the prices have zoomed. So we are caught in the middle here, and we are committed to doing our part in Congress. And we in the House Agriculture Committee will shine a light on these issues and move forward. I also want to bring attention to while we are sailing fairly smoothly in terms of no disruptions in our supply chain, we do have a serious immediate challenge. And it's a challenge that we have got to address. And it is this. We need right now 15,000 more commercial truck drivers. If there is an Achilles heel in our challenge, it rests with this huge vacancies in our truck drivers, commercial truck drivers. Let me tell you why. Right now, according to our Food Service Distribution Association, they're the ones that brought this to my attention, and I need to share it with this committee because we're going to have to do something about this. Right now, we are 15,000 commercial drivers short, and we have got to move forthrightly to respond to that. But more than that, and here is the real element of this Achilles heel. According to not just the Food Service Distribution Association, but our Transportation Department and others, here is the problem. 90% of our commercial truck drivers don't last 1 year. And so we've got before us a major recruitment program and a retention program. And I have moved on this in our committee. And we are going to call upon and work with, as our agriculture committee, and work with our labor committee and education committee, and work with our transportation committee. And I've asked my staff to begin to reach out. I believe strongly, ladies and gentlemen, that if we do not address this immediate concern of getting 15,000 more truck drivers, and if we do not especially address the question and the issue, why are 90% of our commercial truck drivers not lasting a year? That doubles the impact of this challenge. It's sort of like trying to fill the bucket up, and we can put all the water in it, but it's meaningless if we don't close the holes at the bottom of the pail. And so this is why I wanted to let you know that this Agriculture Committee is not waiting 1 second on that. We're already moving to put this in action, and we're calling upon the impacted committees, transportation, agriculture, and labor and education, to try to see what we can do. And then pull in the labor department, the transportation department, the secretary, and of course our secretary, Tom Vilsack. Now, some of this is going on already. And I want to give President Biden some credit here, folks. He gets a lot of blame, but he has moved on this already. He, with his 24/7 plan, that has opened up a way for us to get what truck drivers we have on the road. They can travel weekends, they can travel nights now, 24 hours, 7 days a week. But if we don't have the truck drivers, what good is that? So this is why we have got to move urgently and put together a major recruitment and retention program for commercial truck drivers. And now I just want to also thank our Secretary of Agriculture, who has moved on this, in terms of putting money already out there. I think it's about $10 billion that he is already putting into action in terms of making sure that the agriculture department is ready right now to assist with this in providing emergency funds to make sure we maintain. But all I say is that we've got a tremendous challenge here. We can't shy from it. And I want to conclude my opening remarks by saying that we are a great nation, and we have gone through some major challenges. At this point, this is our Paul Revere moment. We've got to sound the alarm on this weakness that we have right now of needing 15,000. This is what they're saying. We need 15,000 truck drivers right this moment. This will maintain where we are. And then we need to really work with the nitty-gritty of it, of retention. I was just shocked when they informed me that 90% right now of our truck drivers don't last a year. So this is a serious problem. We're moving forward, and I just appreciate everybody here today. And I wanted to just sound the alarm but also now we must have a Franklin Delano Roosevelt moment. When they had the Depression during the 30s, we responded. And we did things we did not even do before, didn't know how to do. And as a result of going through that, we put things in place as a result of Depression that is lasting and helping us right to this day. This is our shining moment, committee. Let us rise to the occasion and let us address this real tough issue of getting more commercial truck drivers and retaining them.
We'll have more from the hearing after this.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
Welcome back. Continuing reporting on that House Agriculture Committee hearing, here's Ranking Member Glenn G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania.
Well, Chairman, thank you very much, and I agree with you. We need to sound the alarm, because I actually think we're in a crisis when I look at all aspects of this and things that were perhaps avoidable and things, most importantly, things that we can address with the right action. So I'm looking forward. We got a talented group of witnesses today that in the panel that's come forward to share their perspective. I'm really interested to hear. We really do need a root cause analysis of all the things that have contributed. I've worked on my role as a senior member in education and labor and a leader on career and technical education. I've worked on the CDL drivers for many years, and we actually have tools out there to help people get trained. It's not a matter of not having resources there dedicated. This hearing today is very important, long overdue, hearing to review the current strains within the supply chain and their impact on American agriculture. And I see this is the first of what I hope will be many public conversations on this topic by our committee. We have a talented panel today, but this is it impacting every American family. And we have a lot of key stakeholders that, you know, we weren't able to fit into onto the panel today. So I would certainly encourage and this is a crisis. I would encourage that we do a series of these hearings. I point to just an article yesterday in one of my newspapers, probably one of my largest newspapers, the Oil City Derrick, that talked about the Cranberry Area School District. This normally receives from their food distribution 100 cases of food. That's what it takes to provide something I think that we somewhat take for granted, school lunches, and they're getting 50. The wonderful men and women that are working in food services at that school district are trying to do their best to be creative as how they deliver the nutrition that they need to do under those school lunches or breakfasts that the kids need to have. And that's a crisis when you have school districts that have their supplies cut in half. I'm looking forward to hearing about workforce issues. Looking forward to hearing. I think there's an entire side of this that the Biden administration has ignored in terms of disruption of food supply, and that is the fact that our farmers who rely on domestic exports, we have a tremendous amount, probably the majority of shipping containers going back overseas empty. And we have these commodities that are so important to our rural communities and our farmers and ranchers that are sitting there ready to go. We don't need truck drivers for that. We need I don't know what we need. We need some type of change to where these containers are not allowed to go back overseas empty. We need flexibility in regulation implementation. We need a transition, a pivot from the Biden energy policy that has reduced the amount of natural gas production. And I'm not about talking specifically about that as an energy source, as the derivatives that get used to manufacture plastics. Because for every food supply, we need packaging. And plastics are an important part of that. So there's a lot that I'm looking forward, hopefully, to hear about today. As the United States emerges from the pandemic, we are facing a new combination of challenges and consequences, including rapidly rising inflation, skyrocketing energy costs, and a shortage of available goods and labor. Now, as we approach the holidays, these issues are on the minds of every American. In addition to everyday needs, meals, gifts, and celebrations will look wildly different this year as families face an onslaught of high prices, limited stock, and minimal customer service. Now, the Biden administration would lead you to believe that these are, quote, high-class problems, end quote. Well, it's kind of a flippant statement, and I believe that represents just how out of touch this administration is with Main Street and farm lanes, let me put it that way, and the everyday people who see their hard-earned dollars stretched thinner every day. Mr. Chairman, I would have liked to see the administration participating in today's hearing, because whatever solutions that we can identify, we need them to be able to execute or to administer. That's what the executive branch is supposed to do. And while I appreciate the peril each of our witnesses is working through, I think it's necessary to hear from one of the main culprits. And too many instances, the White House uses industry as a scapegoat rather than partnering with them to solve problems. And while we can pull other factors like natural disasters, much of what we will hear about today is how feckless liberal policies under consideration by this administration are compounding instead of mitigating this crisis. This administration has single-handedly perpetuated a fear of higher taxes, contemplated regulations without any type of flexibility that will limit crop protection tools and land use, reduce our nation's energy dependence, and reverted to divisive and unreasonable vaccine mandates and challenged regulations in our transportation sector. And to make matters worse, as we sit here, trillions more in reckless spending are being ready behind closed doors, funding that will only add fuel to the fire of skyrocketing inflation and economic uncertainty. More so, and let me be very clear, this is a ruinous crisis for our farmers and ranchers who buy retail, sell wholesale, and pay shipping each way. Increased input costs are hampering producers' abilities to provide an affordable food and fiber supply. That insult to injury, transportation and shipping delays, as you reflected on, have had serious consequences on their ability to export products, a void being filled by foreign competitors. Now, I can only hope that this excellent panel will shed some light on a path out of this mess. We're looking for solutions. That's what we do in the Agriculture Committee. And I hope this committee considers inviting the administration to testify about this very issue as well. I look forward to working with you, Mr. Chairman, to bring forth solutions, many of which we'll hear about today. And I want to thank the expert witnesses who have joined us today on very short notice and the numerous associations, organizations, and businesses who have provided additional testimony in advance of the hearing. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I yield back.
California Representative Jim Costa is also a member of that committee. Here are his opening statements.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and this is a very important and serious hearing that we are having, and it's timely, and I thank you for that. And I know you're in a good mood this morning because the Braves did bring it home last night, so you've got a smile on your face. This next gentleman, if you like pizza, you're going to like my friend Mike Durkin from La Prino Foods. They are the largest producer of mozzarella cheese in the nation, which means the world. But they also produce a lot of other important proteins and lactose and dairy ingredients that are critical to our food supply chain. And Mr. Durkin's experience in other leading roles puts him in a good position to testify this morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, of the critical challenges and the crisis that we're facing in our supply chain. We look forward to hearing his testimony as well as the other witnesses.
We hear from some of the witnesses right after this.
Agromayor Nursery is the premier nursery in California. Whether it's almonds, walnuts, pistachios, prunes, or olives, Agromayor has been the grower's source for over 20 years and is the home of Rootpack R Almond, Grizzly Walnut, and the North American plants UCB1 and Platinum Clonal Pistachio Rootstocks. As the worldwide leader in super high-density almonds, olives, and prunes, Agromayor can show you how to cut costs and increase yields with their super high-density rootstock Rootpack 20. For more information or to schedule a site visit, contact a representative at 530-812-3398 today. The California Walnut Board and Commission provides value to the California walnut industry by working together with growers and handlers to advance the industry. Together, the California Walnut Board and Commission are helping to protect, develop, and grow California walnuts domestically and internationally. The California Walnut Board provides funding and strategic direction on walnut production and post-harvest research designed to help support the industry and promote California walnuts. To learn more, visit our website at walnuts.org. Together we grow. Salty, closed soils can render your crops unproductive. D-Sol, formulated by AgroPlantae, is specially designed for sodic and saline sodic soils. D-Sol will displace sodium and wash it out of the root zone with irrigation to enhance your soil structure, water penetration, and vitality by decreasing soil salinity. AgroPlantae's D-Sol flocculates your soil to promote soil aeration and drainage. With D-Sol, you'll create a better soil environment for your crop roots and optimize yield. Contact AgroPlantae today to find out more at 559-498-0388 or visit us at agroplantae.com.
Welcome back. We have three witness statements from that House Ag Committee hearing. Here's Mr. John Schwalz, the Executive Officer for the Southern Valley Fruit and Vegetable Incorporated, on behalf of Georgia Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association.
Chairman Scott, Ranking Member Thompson, members of the committee, thank you for your invitation to participate in today's hearing. My name is John Schwalz. I'm the Executive Officer at Southern Valley in Norman Park, Georgia. I'm here today on behalf of the Georgia Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association. Southern Valley is a fully integrated year-round growing, packing, and shipping operations of fruits and vegetables. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the committee today and share how the pandemic has created unprecedented challenges to our supply chain, placing the produce industry in a crisis. When the pandemic began in March of 2020, Southern Valley did as many farming operations. We quickly implemented procedures to protect our workers and consumers by mitigating any potential exposure to the virus. Even though nearly half of our market share had disappeared due to closure of restaurants, schools, cafeterias, our spring crop had already been planted at that time. So we had no choice but to harvest that crop while also protecting the health and the safety of our employees. For the first 6 months of the pandemic, our calls for COVID-19 prevention and employee health and safety were over $120,000. We survived the 2020 and first half of 2021, but it has certainly not been without significant increase to input and cost. Recurring monthly cost of $16,000 for COVID prevention continue today. These costs include our health task force, which is led by a local physician, additional security measures, PPE, quarantine housing, and related supplies. We've made substantial adjustments in our purchasing model to help alleviate costs with price forecasting. Southern Valley has contracted our year's supply of crop protection products, fertilizers, and fuel for farm operations during the first quarter of the year. Farming operations are facing not only increased field input costs, but also a shortage of supply of many inputs. And suppliers can no longer guarantee our pricing due to the shortages and shipping delays and production. The industry has seen unprecedented increases over the past 12 months for production costs. Specific cost increases that we've seen year to date are fertilizers, which are up 35%, crop protection products, 25%, fuel, 48%, and plastic and drip tape, 35%. We've also had significant increases in packing costs. Corrugated boxes up 17%, packing supplies 30%, pallets 75%, and refrigerant 200%. And our outbound freight to customers is up 40%. We are in a supply chain crisis. The U.S. ports we rely on are backed up, and products needed for farming, such as tractor tires and computer chips, are waiting to be unloaded. There are not enough drivers, warehouses, chassis, and shipping containers to keep the product moving to their intended customer, which in this case is the American farmer. Some examples are previously crop protection products could be sourced the same or next day. Now that's 7 to 10 days. That's very important because diseases and fungus are time sensitive. Even a few days delay can have a significant impact on crop yield and or total crop loss. Fertilizers that could previously be sourced within a week, we're waiting 3 to 4 weeks now. And things like tractor tires that could be sourced the same day, we're not even being given a delivery date. In the early days of the pandemic, the federal and state governments took swift action to invest in the food systems and to work together to keep supply chains moving. The situation we now face echoes some of the challenges we faced in the spring of 2020. Finally, Georgia lacks a processing facility for produce. Currently, there's no opportunity to market produce that is cosmetically flawed. The addition of a processing facility would allow products that are currently tossed to be sold into 1 of 4 categories: fresh cut, fresh prepared, fresh frozen, or frozen prepared. A facility like this would make great strides in reducing food waste as well as adding shelf life to these fruits and vegetables. In times when producers are spending more to grow their product, a processing facility would incentivize growers to stay in farming to better balance out the additional cost incurred throughout the pandemic and supply chain crisis and create food safety and stability. Thank you for allowing me to participate today. I look forward to the continued discussion, and I'll be able to answer any questions you may have today or follow up after the hearing. Thank you.
We now have Mr. Rod Wells, Chief Supply Chain Officer with GrowMark Incorporated, on behalf of the Agricultural Retailers Association.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Scott, Ranking Member Thompson, and distinguished members of the House Committee on Agriculture. Thank you for allowing me to testify today regarding the immediate challenges to our nation's food supply chain. My name is Rod Wells, and I serve as the Chief Supply Chain Officer of GrowMark Incorporated, headquartered in Bloomington, Illinois. GrowMark is a North American ag cooperative owned by local member companies and farmers and provides grain supplies, farm supplies, and grain marketing services. I also appear before you today on behalf of the Agricultural Retailers Association as the chairman of the ARA Board of Directors. ARA represents agricultural retailers who supply farmers and ranchers with crop inputs, feed, equipment, technology, and services that help to successfully manage their operations. The agriculture industry is experiencing supply chain disruptions. We must act on both short-term and long-term solutions and utilize a multi-pronged approach to mitigate these disruptions. The importance of improving our infrastructure, crop input production, energy availability, access to labor, and regulations that work for rural America is very clear now. Rural America's transportation infrastructure needs improvement. Rural America contains many of the country's natural resources and is the primary producer of food, fiber, and energy. Roads, bridges, highways, and waterways provide the first and last links in the supply chain from farm to market for all citizens in our country. We compete in a global marketplace, and our infrastructure must be world-class and efficient. In short, ensuring an economically strong supply chain infrastructure is critical to the health of the U.S. economy. Waterways, ports on our coasts, and freight railroads are safe and effective means of transporting commodities. Freight railroads need to make track improvements to be in the best position to deliver consistent, dependable service while also providing competitive rail rates to shippers. Our waterways need new 1,200-foot locks, and more ports need to be capable of offloading containers. Our growing supply chain challenges pinpoint an immediate need for waterway, port, and rail track upgrades to connect ag retailers and their customers to domestic and international markets. Trucking is vital to agriculture, and we depend on just-in-time delivery of farm supplies and services to our customers. Our country is experiencing a growing driver shortage and higher shipping costs. 48 states currently allow drivers to obtain a commercial driver's license at 18. However, they are prohibited from driving in interstate commerce until they are 21. the Drive Safe Act legislation we support would create a two-step apprenticeship program to allow these younger drivers to safely enter the industry. Hours of service regulation should allow more flexibility for drivers working within the food supply production system, along with streamlining electronic logging device requirements that can be a burden for small trucking companies. Planning for the 2022 growing season is already underway. Seed and crop protection products all rely on the supply chain being discussed today. We feel part of improving the supply chain involves the timely and science-based regulatory approval process for biotechnology and crop protection products. The Ag Retailers Association supports biotechnology and crop protection products being assessed within the traditional U.S. EPA science and risk-based regulatory process. American farmers and ranchers become more sustainable and strengthen the food supply system long-term with science-based advancements. Reliable, diverse, and cost-effective energy sources are essential for agriculture production and its supply chain system. Agriculture producers produce renewable fuels that include ethanol, biodiesel, solar, wind, and gas from digesters. But until renewable energy can meet all demand, traditional domestic energy sources must be available. The census shows rural America continues to struggle to grow its population while the demand for qualified workers increases. The current H-2A Ag Guest Worker Visa program is broken and does not work for all of agriculture. We desire an H-2A program that is simpler and more flexible. The Ag Retailers Association urges Congress to continue to explore solutions that improve the supply chain and also promote pro-growth economic policies. As a farm supply retailer, I am confident that acting on these priorities will help farmers improve production and contribute to growing the economy while supplying the food, fuel, and fiber that our citizens need. Thank you for your commitment to and support of American agriculture, and I look forward to your questions.
And finally, we have Greg Ferrara, President and Chief Executive Officer of the National Grocers Association.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman Scott, Ranking Member Thompson, and members of the House Agriculture Committee. It's an honor to have the opportunity to testify before you today to provide the perspective of the independent grocer on America's current food supply chain challenges. My name is Greg Ferrara, President and CEO of the National Grocers Association. NGA is the voice in Washington for America's 21,000 independent community grocers and the wholesalers that service them. Independent community grocers account for 33% of all grocery sales, exceeding $250 billion, and more than 1 million American jobs. We are inherently tied to the strength and vitality of the markets we serve at the heart of the local communities and the U.S. economy. Independents provide jobs and boost local tax revenues while bringing choice, convenience, and value to hardworking Americans. We serve as a critical market for agriculture products for independent small-scale farmers, as independents differentiate themselves from their competition by sourcing locally. Without doubt, the last 18 months has been the most challenging time in grocery than anyone in our industry can remember. And the COVID pandemic has made the grocery supply chain literally a kitchen table issue for millions of Americans. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have experienced sustained unprecedented levels of consumer demand. While the early days of the pandemic were marred by panic buying and acute shortages of must-have consumer products, this new phase of the global supply chain crunch presents a brand new set of challenges. The good news is that American consumers no longer have to confront the stark images that marked the beginning of the pandemic of empty grocery shelves and hour-long lines at checkout. America's food supply chain, from farmers to manufacturers, wholesalers to retailers, demonstrated its resilience and flexibility by catching up with demand in most grocery categories. The greatest risk we face in the market is not supply chain challenges under discussion today, but rather the panic buying mindset is what poses the greatest risk to the availability of food and the ability of grocers to keep the shelves fully stocked. As industry and government leaders, we must be responsible spokespeople for the food system and reassure American public that there is plenty of food to go around. With that being said, the global pandemic has changed the economy and the food supply chain is adjusting to deal with the new challenges presented by the new economic order. From the independent grocer's perspective, there are three central factors contributing most significantly to the current supply chain crunch. First, labor availability. A common denominator from every witness at this is that the lack of labor availability is impacting all of us. People have left the workforce, perhaps for good. Others left temporarily and still have not come back. More Americans are working from home, leading to a culture shift in how consumers shop and what they purchase. The food industry continues to adapt to a shifting marketplace, but the bottom line is we must have access to a stable workforce in order to adequately meet the demands of American consumers. Despite the record wage growth and endless opportunities, we still face a major labor shortage. Number two, shortcomings in America's transportation infrastructure capacity is driving supply bottlenecks and delays. Specifically, the trucking industry faces an acute shortage of truck drivers, a critical cog in the supply chain required to move product along each step in the food production cycle. America is still short by more than 100,000 truck drivers, and the problem is only getting worse. The federal government must take actions to increase transportation efficiency and capacity while maintaining current regulatory flexibility, such as the hours of service waivers, as we see no letup in demand. Finally, number three, power buyer and supply chain concentration. The pandemic has exposed a growing problem in the food and agriculture sector. Market concentration has led to uneven supply. The largest retail power buyers use their immense economic power to pressure suppliers into prioritizing their shipments over other retail customers while extracting concessions on wholesale pricing. As a result, independent grocers have lost access to both popular products and promotional pricing, often putting them at a disadvantage when competing with their largest rivals. Consumers who live in rural or low-income food insecure areas that are typically served by independents are disproportionately impacted and must travel longer distances to find products they need at more crowded retailers. Although the current crisis has exacerbated economic discrimination in the grocery sector, this phenomenon is not confined to the pandemic. For decades, independent grocers have not had equal access to pricing, promotions, and packing details, deals that are provided to the largest firms. And during this time, independent grocers have lost ground in many rural and urban areas where food deserts now exist, in large part to competitive disadvantages in the marketplace that often favor the biggest chains and dollar stores. To fix our supply chain, NGA believes we must fix the competitive free market and enforce antitrust laws that are already in the books. That is why NGA, along with farmers and business groups and the Main Street Competition Coalition, is calling on Congress to revive antitrust enforcement of existing laws that level the playing field like the Robinson-Patman Act. Although we expect some inconveniences in product availability to be present in the near future, I have no doubt that American ingenuity and the dedication of the patriotic individuals that comprise our food sector will prevail over the headwinds that we face in the marketplace. It will take time to adjust to the new economic reality, but targeted interventions from our federal policymakers will help us get back on the right track even quicker. With that, I'm happy to take your questions.
We will continue keeping an eye on the supply chain issues. That is our show for today. If there's a topic you'd like to hear more about, send me an email to sabrina@myaglife.com. This is the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I am Sabrina Halverson. From the JCS Marketing Team, thanks for listening.